Good morning, everyone. I think you all have more energy than I felt like this morning, that's for sure. But if you ever want to be a radio host, just spend like 12 hours fighting a fire, breathing that smoke, and then you're like, good morning, Canada. That's how you wake up in the morning. So yes, I have a pitch change in my voice this morning. But we will work through that. God uses things in miraculous ways. So maybe somebody can't hear the high frequencies with the hearing aid. We're down here today. So we've been working through Galatians. Last week, Corey almost finished up Galatians chapter 2 there. But if you open with your Bibles with me there, just to the end of Galatians 2, the last few verses there. So reading from verse 19, Galatians 2, verse 19 in the NIV. For through the law I have died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's kind of where we ended off last week. Corey spoke about all the things, and that's where we've been going through. The last verse of Galatians chapter 2 there says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. So that's kind of what we've been looking at through Easter, right? What was Easter all about? It was Jesus' death and his resurrection. So if he did that and we were justified through the law, why? Why did he do all of that? Right? What made that so important? It's because through the law, we were kept apart, which we'll see now in Galatians chapter 3. Christ died for nothing if my righteousness was gained through law. So think about that as we now work and move forward through Galatians and we start looking into chapter 3. So turn with me to chapter 3. We're going to read all the way through to verse 29. So we're going to read the whole chapter today. So I know we've taken like 6 weeks to get to chapter 2. Today we're going to do chapter 3. Galatians 3 verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again I ask you, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce this gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So now that's kind of like a, seems to be every chapter he begins with a little bit of an admonishment. You know, are you so easily led astray? You foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? There's this challenge here every single time. Like, what are you doing? You know, if we look at the history of Galatians and all those things, Paul was addressing some concerns that had come up since Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. So now we're moving on to something slightly different from verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is anyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So here we have, again, a promise of what Jesus was talking about. The righteous shall live by faith. Previously, it referred to the promise given to Abraham, to his seed, to all those things, people that are not bound by the law. And if we live by the law, we're under that curse. And Jesus' death broke that curse. His resurrection was the power to move us beyond the law into this life of living in the Spirit. So, and we've just read there, the righteous live by faith. We live in the Spirit. From verse 15 on, we're looking at the law and the promise. So it refers again to Abraham. So brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say "and to seeds," meaning many people, but "and to your seed," meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this: the law, introduced 430 years later, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. So this is an important thing. The law did not nullify God's promise, because if you promise to do something as a person, we are humans, right? We're bound by our word, so to speak. It's just we try and keep our promises. It's an act of good faith, right? It's the same thing with God. If God broke his promises, well, you know, what was the point of Noah? What was the point of Adam? Like, how far back do we go to see God breaking promises? There's never a story in the Bible where God broke his promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, verse 18, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. So why then was the law given at all? What was the point of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. Is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was not a bad thing. All right, here in verse 24, the law was our guardian until Christ came, so that we may be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Gentile nor Jew, slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. So there is a lot in that passage of Scripture. A lot of questions, a lot of challenges, a lot of explanations, a lot of deep dives into what was the law, why was it there, was it a bad thing, why are we now not dismissing that law, but why is the law now being nullified through the actions of Christ? And so in the first two chapters there, Paul is basically defending. He's defending his claims. He's defending his words. He's saying that, listen, this is not stuff that I personally have knowledge of. This is revelation. How he received that information, so to speak. Then here in chapters 3 and 4, he's explaining why is faith through the law versus justification through the promises, faith through the promise of God. What's the difference there? Do we do to believe the law, or do we believe because we have heard based on faith? None of us saw the death and resurrection of Jesus unless you had a vision. right? None of us were there. So is our faith based on the law? No, because the law was nullified that day through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our faith, our belief is because we heard. If someone tells you, yesterday there was a fire in Deadwood, who was there? There were a couple of us that were there, but you have the faith to believe our word. You know, you did not see it, but your faith in what you heard allows you to believe that it was true. So Paul instructs us and explains that by faith we receive that promise, the promise of what happened with Jesus' death and resurrection. So what I want to focus on here in these three, in chapter 3, is verses 23 to 29 specifically. The bits before that, it kind of leads up to this, right? Again, we're explaining, we're justifying. He's saying, asking us questions. He's saying, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You saw Jesus' death and resurrection. You know, are we so easily persuaded by our own belief in though this is what's right, this is what's wrong, being judgmental, that we've forgotten everything that we've heard, that we've forgotten what faith is? So I think it was really hard for the Galatians, because you have something that's come along that you simply had to believe in. And in order to attain it was almost unnatural, right? Their whole lives have been based on the law. All of Jewish tradition and everything up to that point was, well, however many laws there are, I can't remember that number, 500 and something odd laws. These are the things you have to do to be good, right? This is what you have to do to have salvation. These are the sacrifices. You have to go to the temple. You have to talk to the high priest so that on your behalf he can absolve you of your sins and give you your righteousness. That was done away with. So it was almost, I can't imagine, there isn't really a modern day comparison, but to have something come along that you simply had to believe in order to attain it was completely unnatural for them, right? It is unnatural for us still as a human being. When you first become a Christian, it's nothing you do. You have to believe. You are righteous because of your belief. By accepting Jesus Christ and claiming those promises, that gives you your righteousness. And that is your justification through faith. You did nothing. Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross is what absolved you of having to do all those things. He stood in our place for the law. So one of the verses I want to go back to there is... Sorry, give me a second to scroll down here. Verse 24, Galatians 3, verse 24. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we may be justified by faith. The law is not a bad thing. It protected humanity. That it earlier it refers about sin having to be wrapped up, our transgressions having to be locked up, everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believed. The law protected us. It locked up all those transgressions, all those sins, all those bad things, for lack of better words, so that we were protected, and that law allowed us to be righteous and have that relationship with Jesus Christ. But what God did was he broke that. He released us from that guardian and allowed our righteousness to be evident in our faith simply by believing. So, we as believers are no longer bound by the law. Yes, we still need to be good people, you know. If we go and break laws, there are consequences for that in terms of Canadian law, provincial law, federal law, things like that. But in terms of biblical law, we are no longer bound by that. Our freedom comes from Christ. And Paul's challenge here to the Galatians was they need to regain that freedom. They had heard, some of them had witnessed Jesus' death and resurrection, but were still choosing to be bound by the law, be bound by things like we heard and read in Galatians 1 and 2 about circumcision. Well, if you're not circumcised, you're not it. You're unclean. You're a less than, right? Being bound and being judgmental by laws. They were being challenged to regain their freedom in Christ. And so the law was there to drive men to faith, right? It was this, do these things will lead you to being a good person that allows you to draw near to God. You know, we read in the Old Testament, in order to get into the most holies of holies, you had to cleanse yourself. The law was there to protect you, to allow for that cleansing so that you could get close to God. Jesus' death and resurrection removed that and allowed us to draw near to God because he paid the price. All those sins, future, past, present, everything was paid for in the blood that allowed us to come back to having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We were no longer bound by the law, and we had the freedom to enter into that relationship with God on our own behalf through Jesus' death and resurrection. So, the passage in itself is a warning. It's like, you foolish Galatians. You know, these are people that have, they were there. They knew what they saw. They believed it. But like, you foolish Galatians. And at the same time, it's an exhortation, an encouragement, a plea to those people. It served as a rebuke for anyone trying to argue for legalism, for license to do things. It's not about what I do. It's not about, oh, you know, this is a very difficult question, but do you come to church because it's what you do on a Sunday? Or do you come to church because it is what the Spirit of God is asking you to do, and you are sensitive to that, and you want to regrow your relationship with God? There's the law. It's what we do. It's why I come. And there's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, moving and pushing us to grow our relationship with Jesus Christ. Those are two very different aspects of church. We are done with law. We don't have to come to church. You know, there is no law that says we should come to church. My heart and my question and my plea would be, you are here because you are want to grow your personal relationship with Jesus Christ through hearing and believing, so that we are justified through our faith. None of you show up here to listen to us and be like, yep, that's the law. You come to hear, and your faith is what allows you to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. The law served as the foundation, but this passage, like the whole of Galatians, it's a foundation. It's a new beginning. All right. Like, Jesus' death and resurrection was still pretty current for these people. It was still messing with the political, geopolitical things, and it was current. But it laid the foundation for being able to argue for freedom and liberty in our faith. And if you read the whole of Galatians, the scriptural truths that are on there allowed the Galatians, who were not Jewish, some of them were, but who allowed the Galatians to move into the freedom of Christ. And that's what his death and resurrection was. We were no longer bound by the law. If I became a Christian back then, you know, at the age of 40, yeah, there's something I would have to have do that it wouldn't have been very pleasant to be justified by the law. You know, circumcision, going to the temple, all those things. I would have had to have been justified through my actions and what I did. But Jesus paid for that. He removed it so that I have that freedom to have that relationship in Christ, and that we are justified by our faith, what I believe, what I have heard, and that works are no longer relevant. Now, it's not to say we should not do good things. You're missing the point, and you are still bound by the law, if you think that those two things are different. We are still called to have the heart of God. And we see the heart of God explained throughout the Bible. God is a just God. Yes, he can get angry. Yes, there are consequences for decisions, bad or good. But what is at the heart of God? It's that want and need for a personal relationship with us, his creations. You know, the greatest commandment is this. What? Love thy neighbor as thyself. God's heart is love. God's heart is a relationship. And moving into the freedom of Christ, that we are justified by faith and not by what we are required to do, allows us to enter into those promises that were spoken about with Abraham. So there's two ways to look at the whole of Galatians. There's a positive way, and that it appears like some people call it the Charter of Freedom the Charter of Christian Freedom. And you can kind of see that, right? There's, we were bound by the law. Jesus' death and resurrection paid for the law and moved us away to be free in Christ and have that justification through faith. On the negative side, and I'm quoting here, it's a thorny jungle and a crucifixion epistle. Okay? It's a hard passage of scripture, these six chapters in Galatians. It's not an easy read. It's not like Genesis where you can read through there and like, you know, yes, okay, he created the stars. There's the fish. There's the birds. There's the sea. Probably my order's wrong. But, you know, like it's easy reading. This is hard to grasp as a human, where we want to be like, well, you know, Terrell, I'm going to pick on you because you won't get offended. Theoretically, but I know he can't move fast either at the moment, so we're safe. But like Terrell, oh, you know, I really dislike your shoes today. They're just terrible. You know, judging someone, there are consequences of that. But I am beyond that now. You know, as a Christian, I am removed from that. I can choose to be that person. I can choose to say, hey, those look like comfy shoes. You know, there's two completely different approaches there. That's my choice. I'm not bound by the law to say what I do. I'm not bound by law to say what I think. But I have the freedom in Christ to say what I believe as long as we say it with love. Now, I'm not saying we go out there and we condemn everybody and we say, hey, you know what you did the other day? In Christ, I say this with a good heart, not a good thing. No. You're missing the point completely. We are free because of what Jesus did for us on the cross to exemplify and mirror the heart of God. If you have a situation where you're like, I want to say something, I challenge you to take a moment, 2 seconds, not even, you know, like, pause as if you're taking a deep breath. Be like, what is the Holy Spirit wanting me to say in this situation? More than likely, it's not what you wanted to say. And that is a hard thing because as humans, we want to be bound by the law. We want to be judgmental. Everything must be X, Y, Z, cut and dried. This is it. Freedom is a difficult concept. Freedom in Christ is a more difficult concept for a worldly human individual. Those of us who have experienced it, who know it, we know how much of a difference it makes, how much freedom there is in the freedom of Christ. We are not bound by those, I have to go to church on Sunday because it's the thing to do. Please all come back next Sunday. It would be really good to see you. I want to go to church. I want to have the freedom to grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And there are things that are difficult. There are times that I don't necessarily agree with Corey and Terrell, that I don't agree with my wife. But those are not cut and dried, broken things, you know, that break everything. Though we, in Christ, I have the freedom to investigate that. To look into those things. What does the scripture say? What is the Holy Spirit leading me? Which direction is this going? It's not an easy thing to do as a Christian, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, be living in the freedom of God and of being a Christian, and not to be bound by the law, as we see here in Galatians. They were struggling with it. It's so easy to be like, well, churches, come to church on Sunday, pray for the pastor on a Sunday evening, you know, go to prayer meeting once a week, and that's it. It's beyond that. It is every single aspect of your life. And we have the freedom of choice to do that. But like I said earlier, the freedom that comes through the freedom of Christ is something that's inexplainable, and you cannot know what it is until you enter into that aspect of your relationship. So I want to move on to a couple of other things. Nothing that I do, nothing that you do, nothing that humanity does will ever make us right with God. We are incapable of doing something that makes us right with God. All our societal norms and goals, your dreams of wealth, definitions of success, everything here on earth are based on works and what I can do. You know, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a businessman. I want to own land. It's all about what I can do. Nothing that I do makes me right with God. It's all a distraction, and it binds us to legalism and license, which are the opposite of what is being preached in Galatians. It's the opposite of the liberty of life and the Spirit. Galatians is applicable to me, and I would hope it's applicable to you too, because my faith has set me free from the legalism and the license. I am a new creation in Christ, not bound by old law. It's not about trying to do the right thing. Yes, we should. But it's not about doing the right thing. It's about living a life so in tune with the Holy Spirit, both personally and collectively, as a church, as your family, within your workplace, within other Christians, within our community, that I can know nothing else but His pleasing and perfect will. I am justified through my faith. I am not justified because I stand up here and preach every now and then. Does not make me a better Christian than you. Sometimes I feel like it makes me a works Christian, because like I'm reading the Bible and I'm like, yeah, we should be doing this, this, and this, and this. No, I missed the point. I should be sitting there listening to my own service today. I cannot make it any better through anything that I try to do. I need to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to lead me into that deeper and more personal relationship with Christ. In Romans 8, verse 14, I think that's the one. So in Romans 8, verse 14, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." I read this last week and I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. Then I thought about it for a little bit and I was like, hold on. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So what does that make those who are not led by the Spirit of God? And I had to sit and ponder this, and I don't have an answer for this. But if you go one verse up and one verse down, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Verse 14, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Verse 15, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live your life in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." So this, I was thinking about Christians, that people that act Christian but don't have that life led by the Spirit of God. according to the Bible, they are not children of God. And I really struggled with this, and I am still working through it and talking about it with other people. But if we are not free to listen to the Spirit of God, if we bind ourselves by, I have to go to church, I have to pray three times a week, I have to do this, this, and this, if we are bound by what we do and not listening to the Spirit of God, what type of child of God am I? You know, like, what are we? If we are bound by the law and what we do and are not listening to the Spirit of God. I want to say again, it's not about trying to do the right thing. Yes, we should, but it's not about that. The purpose of being a Christian is not about doing the right thing. It's about living that life so in tune with the Spirit that I know nothing else other than God's pleasing and perfect will. And it is hard. We can all testify to that. We can all be like, yeah, you know, the other day, my kids were being difficult. I shouted at them. I know that what I should have said was like, listen, you know, this is really not the best idea to pull all the couches or the cushions off the couch and make a trampoline down the stairs. That's really not a great idea, you know, instead of just shouting at them. But I can't make it any better through what I try to do. I need to listen to what God's Spirit is telling me to do. And by being sensitive and receptive to that and moving beyond the limitations of being bound by the law, we open ourselves up to that freedom of God. We open ourselves up to the promises that we read there in Galatians. And I want to end off here with, let me find the right page. You'd be surprised. My notes go front to back, side to up, down. I said it earlier. Do we do to believe, or do we believe because we have heard? Through our faith, we receive the promise of eternal life. And as we move through Galatians into the next few chapters, we'll be looking at applying this into our lives. How do you do that? You know, like Corey and Terrell, like as we've been going through here, like faith through justification, works and deeds versus belief, doing what you heard. But how do we apply that in our daily lives? And that's what the last few chapters of Galatians talks about. So I want to leave you with a challenge again. The scripture I want to leave you with is Romans 8 verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Don't take it as a statement. Take it as a challenge. Right? It is a statement. God said this. Where do we fall on that spectrum of for those who are led by the Spirit of God? And secondly, read Galatians front to back again before next week. You know, keep that in your mind as we have PRBI here. Work through those promises. Look at what God is telling you about. Are you bound by the law in a few things? Do you come to church simply because it's what you have to do on a Sunday? Do you come to church because the Spirit is telling you, listen, go to church. That's where you're going to get a little bit of growth. You know, that's where you're going to be challenged. That's where you're going to be like, never thought about it that way. You know, or what is it? What is holding you back? What are your laws in your life that are keeping you from experiencing the freedom of God? That are keeping you and holding you back from walking into the freedom of the faith of a Christian life? And so, Father, as we go out into our week, I really pray, Father, that you would help us be sensitive, that we would make those conscious decisions to listen to your Spirit. What is the Spirit of God telling me? That it would become so integral to our lives that we wouldn't even have to think about it. That we would be living in the freedom of faith. That we would know that your sacrifice has paid it all already, Lord. That we would be able to walk away from being bound by the laws, by license, by legalism, and move into the freedom of a relationship with you as you planned it to be, Father. And so, Father, guard our hearts and guard our minds this week and going forwards. Let us know your truth. Let our faith come from what we have heard and what we believe. Let it not be defined by what we do or allow us to judge other people through their actions. And so, Father, I commit us to you. I commit my words to you. Let nothing that is not of you take root here today, Father. Amen.